Warning: this program contains content that may not be suitable to some listeners. It contains decency, truth, ageless wisdom, a father who cares. It's Generations with Kevin Swanson.
Ladies and gentlemen, this is Generations. Welcome. My name is Kevin Swanson. I'm Executive Director of Christian Home Educators. But the reason I'm on the air, I'm a father of five. Two of my girls in studio today. Emily, she's 12 years old. Abigail, we call her Biggie. She's five. They're in studio. And Dave, my little girls are in studio. And a major question that comes across my desk today is, how do we treat women? Hey, the feminists today want men to treat women badly, obviously. The dating scene certainly brings this out. How many women have been exploited, dismissed, dumped, kicked to the curb, used and abused in the dating scene? You know, I think for the most part, women get the raw end of the deal when it comes to the date.
Yeah, I think a lot of men look at women as if they were a ride at Elitch's or something, and they pay their ticket, get the ride, and then go on to the next.
Yeah, and that happens more often than not. Of course, women are the ones that are left with the bag emotionally more often than not. But it's not just the dating scene. It's also the movie scene. We've mentioned this before, but women are more and more being exploited in the movies. They're turning into the aggressors. They're supposed to be aggressors. Of course, this is foisted upon them by the feminists today. You look at Kill Bill, G.I. Jane, or the most recent movie I saw, The Island. And, you know, almost every single movie that includes some violence involves women as violent as men, competing with men, not complimenting men anymore. And, of course, that's the egalitarian message, equal opportunity violence. And when women compete with men in terms of violence, you know what happens, Dave?
Yeah, they get hurt.
They get hurt badly. They don't get hurt in the movies. The movies, of course, women beat up on the men all the time. They win, but you know that doesn't happen in real life. And when that happens, what is the message the average guy is picking up when they see this woman engaged usually in some kind of sexual situation and a violent situation? It's sadism, Dave. They're inviting men to rape. Violence against women is being encouraged by the movies today, plain and simple.
Well, and encouraging women to be violent against men, and they need to be defensive against the violence of women. It's very interesting. In Hollywood, a woman can, say, kill a man, but very rarely is it acceptable for a woman to die at the hands of a man or a woman. So there is this big double standard, but the message is very violent.
At one time, men protected women. That's not the worldview you're being taught in public schools today. That's not the worldview conveyed by colleges in the movies. Today, the message is be violent to women, compete with them on the same level, and you get the same effect in military. No longer do we protect women. It's not women and children first. It's now women and children get dominated. The 2004 Pentagon survey of the three military academies, and that, of course, includes our Air Force Academy down in Colorado Springs, this survey revealed that 1 in 7 female cadets said she had been a victim of sexual abuse. In a national phone survey of 558 Vietnam women veterans, almost half admitted experiencing interpersonal violence, including rape. The 30% of them said that they had been raped. Ladies and gentlemen, those numbers are very significant. They're very, very high. Cross-sectional survey of 4,918 U.S. military veterans seeking VA disability benefits for post-traumatic stress disorder. Of the women, 69% of combat veterans and 87% of non-combat veterans reported in-service or post-service sexual assault. Dave, the world is coming apart. Men do not know how to treat women anymore.
No, and it sounds like if you really want to get your daughter abused, you ought to send her to the military.
I guess so. That is the equal opportunity violence, the equal opportunity treatment that is being foisted upon our worldview by the feminists today, and we have bought it. Lock, stock, and barrel. And the effects on women is not good. Here's an article on the effects on women in terms of all of this violence, the way that men treat women today. Far more women engaging in domestic violence than ever before. More women diagnosed with severe emotional problems, clinical depression, bipolar disorders. More women committing suicide. More and more women using divorce court and family court as weapons against men. These bitter females go father shopping for disposable dads. They find nice men, marry them, have children, buy them. In one fell swoop, they take away their home, children, cars, and cash without any semblance of a conscience. You know, women bear their sin, but I think even deeper, men make their contributions. Dave, these women had dads. The men who violate women, they had dads too. How are we teaching our sons to treat women? There are three options. Our boys will become pusillanimous, predators or protectors? Which will it be? We'll be back in a moment. We're back. This is Generations. My name is Kevin Swanson. How are we raising our sons to be predators or protectors? There's an old poem that goes, Georgie Porgy, puddin' and pie, kissed the girls and made them cry. When the boys came out to play, Georgie Porgy ran away. What's the problem with Georgie Porgy? He's not much of a man, is he? Doesn't like to hang out with the men. Doesn't like to be a man. He's kissing the girls and makes them cry.
I think Georgie Porgy's acting like a pig.
Georgie Porgy is a pig. And you know, there are a lot of boys out there raised to be pigs. And here's a story written by Gillis Triplett. I don't know the guy, but it comes from off the web. It says, have you kissed the girls and made them cry? He says, you know, there's a lot of guys out there who have done just this. These guys are predators rather than protectors, players and pimps rather than princes, knights in pining armor rather than knights in shining armors. He says these males even creep into the church pews. It's common for them to prey on untrained church girls. They steal their virginity, break their hearts, and then joke about it with these destructive sexual exploits. You know, I think there are a lot of guys out there who have done just this, Dave.
Oh, I think it is commonplace. In fact, I think it's worshipped in our culture that a male would grow up and become a fornicator and be good at it.
Well, he's got a damage assessment test here, and I just want to read a few of these questions, and this may apply to some of our listeners today. He's got these questions. Did you steal a woman's virginity? Did you pressure, coerce, or manipulate her into having sex? Did you talk, persuade, coerce, or force her into an abortion? Did you string her along with the promise of marriage and then dump her, have sex with her, and then shun her and vanish from her life? Did you live with her outside of marriage? Did you take advantage of her when she was vulnerable emotionally? Did you marry her and then display immaturity, infidelity, or irresponsibility? Did you toy with her emotions by making false promises, vows, or oaths? And the final question is, as fathers, did we neglect our duty to protect our daughters? And you know, Dave, I think there are a lot of fathers out there. There's a lot of guys out there who have become predatory. They're not protectors anymore.
Yeah, there's a whole culture out there that says that men are to be hunters. They're to go find the game, bag her and bring her home. Yeah. And that really is a whole mindset that Hollywood has given us, that popular music has given us, the whole dating culture has given us. It really doesn't honor and respect the purity of women as something that's valuable. And even fathers today are teaching their daughters how to become crass in their advertising of their physical charms and how to attract the worst sorts of men.
One of the best ways, Dave, to figure out what's happening in our culture today is to look at what happens in ship disasters. In the olden days, it was women and children first, but in two recent ship disasters, it was the women and children in the water, and the men were in the boats. A boat sank off the coast of Indonesia a while back, and the captain and men jumped into the lifeboats and just left the women and the children to sink. Also, a ship called the Burgoyne sank just a few decades back, and the men beat the women out of the lifeboats into the water, and of course the men survived that one as well. But back in the 1800s, there was a Scottish ship called the Birkenhead, and this ship hit a ledge in South Africa, and it was only about 20 minutes before the ship went down. There was only room in the lifeboats for the women and children. Well, the captain of the boat called all the men together and basically gave them a speech and said, you know what, it's women and children first. You guys need to die. I expect every man of you to die like a man for your wives and children. This kind of thing doesn't happen much anymore.
No, it doesn't. In fact, as that story unfolds, we see that these men are on top of the deck singing psalms, making a covenant with one another that they will not swim out towards the lifeboats because they might capsize them. These men were willing and knew that going down that they were going to die.
Listen to what one of the survivors said. All around me, he was in the water, all around me are men who are hurled to a pitiless death, some struggling fiercely, some clinging to any floating object from the wreck. There were awful sounds, which I have come to know well as the last groans or screams of men who sink to rise no more. And still more terrifying, there are the hopeless cries of those who are seized and eaten by the sharks. There, that's my old man's story. What else is there to tell? For all the women and children, not one of them was lost. Because of that, and because we obeyed, I and the rest of us are satisfied. Dave, this is honor. This is honor.
Yeah, the only thing missing in that story was the Scottish accent. But this is a culture of men who were raised to be protectors, to honor women as the weaker vessel, as the Bible tells us, to give their lives for them, as Christ commands us. This is a whole different way of approaching the sexes.
In fact, the quintessential, the highest action of a man that really defines what we are as men is to give our lives for women and children. That's what defines us, Dave. But that's what does not define our culture. How do we teach our children? How do we prepare our boys to throw themselves into shark-infested waters?
Well, the reason our culture doesn't teach that is because we've lost the remnant of a Christian culture. Our culture used to teach that because our Lord and Savior, He gave Himself up. How do we teach our children? We point to our Savior. We say, see that? That's what a man does. Son, this is what you're commanded to do. This is how you will find glory and satisfaction and purpose in your life, to follow your Savior even unto death.
Our sons need to be raised with that kind of an honor. They need to see that in us as fathers. You know, Dave, I think it starts with fathers. It starts with us as men being honorable men and giving our lives for our wives. And you know what I'm talking about. We need to raise our sons in the atmosphere of honor where that man, that father, has given himself to his wife day by day, hour by hour, minute by minute. So when that opportunity comes, when he's on that boat and he has got to give the last life jacket to his wife, or he's got to put his wife in that lifeboat and he's got to jump into that shark-infested ocean, he has grown up with that sense of honor.
What you're talking about is giving your son a picture of what it means to live sacrificially, to have a purpose beyond his own pleasure. One of the ways that we do this in our house, besides trying to provide a positive example, is we'll read lots of books about martyrs. We love the martyrs, not because of the grisliness of their death, but because these people lived and died with a purpose that was greater than their own pleasure. That is the same mentality that you serve your wife or that you approach marriage.
And, you know, this opportunity presents itself all the time. Occasionally, our wives will lay down the gauntlet. There will be an emotionally stressful time in the home. And the way that I respond to my wife will be a living testimony to my son as to whether or not I am willing to lay my life down for my wife.
Yeah, the opportunity to live sacrificially isn't a rare opportunity. It's a daily opportunity.
Yeah.
The question is, how big of a production are we going to make out of our long suffering as we extend grace and gentleness and leadership and are willing to forego pleasures, even pleasures that are rightfully ours? As that temperature in the house increases, our children are going to catch that.
Dave, the title of this program is Predator or Protector. What do you think? Do you think there's a middle ground? Do you think that it's possible not to be a protector, not to be a predator, but just to be pusillanimous? Sort of that weak-kneed, yellow-bellied person who doesn't do anything for anybody.
I think it's a possibility if you're stranded on a desert island all by yourself. If you're a man living in isolation, perhaps. But because we live in community, you don't have that choice. Say you're in the locker room with some other boys and they start bragging. At that point, you either have to be a protector, either encourage them in their predatory braggadocio tales, or you exhort them to live more righteously.
So if you are passive, you are effectively becoming a support for the predatory nature of the day. You are encouraging those who are being predatory. If you are a passive father and you do not engage your protective role over your daughters and your wife, the end result is you're just joining the predators. You're just being part of the predatory nature of the day. All right, let's talk for just a moment about how a father can train a young man. We've talked about being an example, but how does that little boy learn to be a protector? Of course, he should not be a predator, and I think sometimes when we encourage our young people or allow our young boys to wrestle and fight with their sisters, you know, I think we're encouraging that predatory nature, and that's not healthy at all.
Now, I'm fortunate. We have boys and girls, so my sons have sisters. They're not allowed to be physical with them. I've told them from day one, their job regarding their sister is to protect them. Their job regarding their mother is to honor her and protect her. This should be so in their blood and coming through their pores that we honor the woman as the weaker vessel, that I don't have to go through this big transition thing when they're 18 and 19 years old, that this is how we treat women now. They have done that their entire life.
One of the most important ways in which you can do this is to encourage the boys to serve the girls, to allow the girls to eat first in the food line. And though that's difficult, that's almost as difficult as throwing yourself into shark-infested waters for a little boy who loves to eat. But to allow the girls to go first in the food line can be a great way in which you can treat a boy, train a boy to be sacrificial. But in terms of protecting his sister, how do you think a young man can protect his sister's reputation, protect his sister in terms of others that may want to violate her?
Well, it starts out very young. When his sister is in a physical situation where she may be physically harmed, his job is to sacrifice himself to protect her. I mean that he has to stop doing what he was doing that was fun. So right away, right as they're growing up, they're thinking protection, protection, protection. In terms of the reputation, they need to understand that purity is something that we value. In our household, they're not allowed to say names to their sisters. They're not allowed to call them names. They're not allowed to say anything that would dishonor their reputation within the house. This is a natural transition then towards young adulthood.
Dave, it reminds me of a story from Teddy Roosevelt. You know, he taught Sunday school for a time, and a boy showed up on a Sunday with a black eye. He admitted to being in a fight, and on a Sunday, too. Well, when he told the future president that a bigger boy had been pinching his sister, and so he fought him, TR just said the boy had done perfectly right and gave him a dollar. Actually, Teddy lost his job as Sunday school teacher for his pains, but the point here is that a boy has a responsibility to protect his sister, and I'm afraid we've been losing this in terms of our worldview.
Yeah, I'm guessing that the boy probably could have gone through a verbal rebuke, maybe taken two or three to confront this boy, and maybe even brought it up to the elders of the church, in which there'd be church discipline, but when all else fails, you know, there's always the black eye option.
Ladies and gentlemen, today the subject is protecting versus the predator. We'll be back in a moment. Hi, folks. We're back. The subject today is protectors or predators. How are we raising our boys? And Dave, as we wrap up the program, I can't help but mention the fact that this is a two-way street. It's not just a boy problem. This is a boy-girl problem, and certainly the feminists have destroyed our idea of the way girls should relate to boys.
That's right. You know, I was being told a story the other day of a man who was on a bus, a very crowded bus, I believe it was in London, and there was a pregnant woman standing there. There was no room on the seats, and he just sat in his seat, and he was encouraged to give the seat up for this obviously pregnant woman. And he said, no, they fought for equal rights. Now they can stand for them. And that's where we're at today. We're to a place where men have become callous and cold to their roles regarding women, and women have become predatory in their roles towards men. The whole thing is turned on its head.
But this is something we can address in our homes day by day, and that's the exciting thing. That's what we're doing today on this program, and we're encouraging parents right now to train their girls to be girls and their boys to be boys. Boys need to protect girls, but at the same time, girls need to submit to that. Girls need to accept that protection. They may not need it, but they need to accept it. And when that boy opens that door for that girl, she should just be thankful for it and respond in the right kind of way.
There are several practical tips here. One is, if your girls will wear dresses, your boys will see that there's something different. Teach your girls to pause at doors, to give their brothers or their father an opportunity to open the doors for them. Now, my wife, when the boys are really small, you know, she's putting them in the car seat, that's not going to work out. But as they get older and older, they should be expected to open the car door, to open the store door, to push the cart, to do all those things that assert themselves as protector with their mother and with their sisters.
Folks, we have hardly a minute left, and I want to encourage you to a great resource that can really open your eyes to the ways in which you can train your boys to be boys. And that's the book, Future Men, by Doug Wilson. Future Men by Doug Wilson. What a great resource. This has helped me tremendously in raising my son, who is 14 years old now. Future Men can be purchased from the Czech Resource Center by calling 877-842-CZECH. 877-842-CHEC or checkbooks.com on the web, checbooks.com. Get this book, Future Men,
by Doug Wilson. It will be a great resource to training your son to be a courageous man of honor, a man who will protect women, not prey on them. You can interact with this program by emailing me, kevin@check.org. That's kevin@check.org. And you can hear the program anytime, anywhere in the world at kevinswanson.com. There are 30 nations now tuned in to Generations through kevinswanson.com. This is Kevin Swanson, and I'm inviting you back again next time as we lay down a vision for the next generation.